Will you pray with me? Father, we have before us eternal treasure that does not lose value with the stock market, but whose truth and value is eternal, more to be desired than gold, than much fine gold. Father, we confess that we come from quite possibly a hurried schedule today. We come with all kinds of thoughts. We come with all kinds of concerns. And we long to hear from you as we look together at your word. And so, Holy Spirit, as has been prayed, we ask that you illumine us and give us insight as tonight we remember, as tonight we worship. For we ask it in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Henry Van Dyke tells the account of his visit to the Holy Land. He tells how dutifully he went from shrine to shrine, from the spot which tradition has hallowed to us as the place of the crucifixion of our Lord Christ. Despite his sympathy with the multiplied acts of devotion that were witnessed there, it was with a sense of relief that he came out to the open and clear air, and he climbed the lofty bell tower of the German Church of the Redeemer. From that vantage point, he looked around and his eyes lit upon a little rocky hill to the north, just beyond the city, just beyond the city gate, and bearing the contour of a skull. Everything about this knoll, now known as Gordon's Calvary, seemed to secure for it the distinction so long claimed for the enshrined and enclosed spot in the chapel of the crucifixion. Just as he was thinking, and he's looking at this place that in his mind he identifies as the place of the skull, a man climbed onto the roof of the Greek center of the world, ascended the dome of such place by a ladder, and he illuminated the cross in the night. The writer adds, wherever the crucifixion took place, it was surely in the open air, beneath the wide sky, and the cross that stood on Golgotha has become the light at the center of the world. So walk with me just for a couple of moments to the foot of that cross, and let's discover what it is that we see. I want you to see Jesus. I think what John craftily, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tucks into John chapter 19 is that phrase that I tried to highlight as we read this passage. He says, this happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And John writes all of this that you might see Christ. He wants to elevate the Lord Jesus. He wants you to see him, not for who people think that he is, but for who he really is. He wants you to see his humanity as he speaks the words, I thirst. He wants you to see that he's the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scriptures. He wants you to see who Jesus is. He wants you to understand that the Old Testament understood every detail about the Christ who would come, including a seamless garment that the soldiers, the four that were responsible for taking him to the place of the skull, would gamble over. He wants you to understand not only his humanity, but that he's the sovereign Lord of the universe who not only is a fulfillment of the scriptures, but he himself fulfills them. And he says, I thirst, and thus fulfills what the Old Testament said about him. He not only knew the scriptures, he actually fulfilled them. I want you to see his humanity. I want you to see him as the spotless Lamb of God, who not a bone would be broken. If you read in the Old Testament about the Passover, you'll understand that they were not to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb as they prepared it for the Passover feast. Really the paschal or suffering or sacrificial lamb. And it is said of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, not a bone would be broken. I want want you to see Jesus, the sovereign creator of the universe. I want you to see Jesus in full humanity as he hung there in front of your eyes. See Jesus. Believe in Jesus. That ultimately is why John writes, and we'll discover that in chapter 20. He writes and he elevates and he paints this picture down to detail of Christ specifically so that you might believe he is who he said he was. Not just so that you'd gain some information about him, not just so that you might gawk as you see this condemned man hanging on a cross, such a pitiful sight, but so that you might know who he really is and that you might put your faith in him. It's not a game. Good Friday is not just a time of season. It's a reality of who Christ is, and John wants you to see him, that you might believe in him, that you might know he is the Savior, the only way of salvation. That's why John paints his picture, so that you might believe. Only God could possibly know that they would gamble over his garments. Accept his humanity. So many would paint Christ as God, but they stop short of in human flesh. He identifies with us in his humanity. My mind can't put it together perfectly, but I trust that God meant what he said, that Jesus is fully God, fully man. Not half and half, all in all. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe before us at Calvary's cross. I want you to think with me. I can watch March Madness with great anxiety because I have chosen teams with our little group online. And I watch in hopes that my team won't lose it in the end. Are you there? Some of you are. Some of you really don't care. But your husband or your wife does, and they're up there going, please don't give it away. Do you have that picture of God as his son hung there on the cross? Do you think he stood there going, as they broke the legs of the first thief and went to the second, do you think God was up there, oh, I hope they don't break Jesus' legs? He wasn't doing that. Do you understand that the God of the universe was orchestrating what was happening before us? He wasn't up there going, oh, I hope they don't mess up my scriptures. He was making it come to pass. God wasn't sitting idly by hoping it would happen. He was hanging there before you and me. Christ, the sovereign Lord of the universe, was bringing to pass what he said he would do. And John wants you to believe that. John wants to rock your world with the reality of Christ. He wants you to know who he is as you see him and as you believe in him. Finally, he wants you to know him. He wants you to know that the Word of God, Scripture, the Bible, is about the Word of God, Jesus. You cannot understand the Old Testament Scriptures if you do not understand they are about Christ. It's not just some history that God thought we would like to hear. It is purposeful, incredible in how God weaves together his plan of salvation throughout the ages, and he unveils it just a layer at a time as he goes through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and he goes through the prophets, and he goes through all of the books of the Old Testament, and they make no sense whatsoever without Christ at the center of them. Oh, you can pick out some wisdom from Proverbs, but it still won't work without Christ at the center of that wisdom. Know Jesus. Know that the Word of God is about the Word of God. Jesus continued to fill the Scriptures even until he died. He quoted scripture in temptation, and he quotes it in death. I was fascinated with how Boyce puts it. Listen to his words. Jesus had been meditating on the scriptures during the hours of his agony. He had been thinking especially of Psalm 22. Apparently, his mind had also run over other prophecies, almost, it would seem, checking them off to assure to himself that everything prophesied concerning his life had been accomplished. Was there anything in Genesis that's left undone? No. Exodus? No. Deuteronomy? As he hung there on the cross? No. It's all been fulfilled. At last, he reached Psalm 69, where it is said in verse 21, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Already they had offered him gall to deaden his pain. But there had been no vinegar yet for his thirst. And so the sovereign Lord of the universe cries out, "I thirst." Why? Don't make it so simple as, well, he was thirsty. Yes, John paints his humanity, but there's much more there than first glance would reveal. He did so to fulfill the scriptures, to make you know he is God in human flesh, the Savior, the Messiah, who had come to die for our sins. This was the last prophecy. So we are told, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished. I've done it all." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. The Holy Spirit brings Calvary right here where we are, until we sing with Bunyan's Pilgrim, "Thus far did I come, laden with my sin, nor could all else ease the grief I was in, till I came hither. What place is this? Must there be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." See Jesus. Believe him. Know him. Let's pray together. Father, for the privilege of being in the presence of your Son, in the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the privilege of being assembled together with brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you. For the opportunity to remember what Jesus has done for us, for the opportunity to reflect on who he is, for the opportunity to grow through faith. God, don't let us endure a Good Friday service. Let us indulge in a good Savior. May we know you, Jesus, even now, as we see an illustration, a reenactment. Would you show us? May we see Jesus. May we believe him. And may we know him. We ask it in Jesus' name.